And now may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel reading ends with some words that are very familiar to those of us brought up on the Book of Common Prayer. On Mill Road in Cambridge, near to my old place of work, there used to be, or perhaps still is, a church with these words written on an outside wall. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. It's an area where there are many homeless people, drug addicts, and it's an invitation calculated to appeal to all. From the exhausted mothers of toddlers, to those sleeping rough on the streets, or to those older people shuffling over the road to the shops, even to a weary lecturer returning to her car. So many of us experience life as a series of heavy burdens, even in so-called normal times. And we know that the current pandemic is leading to real practical worries and burdens for so very many people. Might this then be a message of hope for them and for us too? In the first reading we heard, Paul expresses a very clear sense, a frustration with himself and with any thought that he can pull himself up by his own efforts. He despairs of getting things right, despite his good intentions. And I know just what he means, don't you? How often have I resolved to be better at X, Y, or Z, at writing to friends, keeping to a diet, keeping up with paperwork, even maintaining sometimes a regular prayer routine, and then admitted defeat? The excuses are many. Some of them are better than others, but they're all excuses. At a broader social level too, we may seem to struggle against other forces that seem to undermine our best efforts. We might resolve to support fair trade, but find that the right goods aren't on the shelf, or the newspapers suggest that the money doesn't go to the right people after all. We might campaign for a good cause, but find it undermined. And sometimes, if we seek to forgive our partner or neighbour a small slight, we may find they continue to behave towards us in the same way. And then, of course, there are the problems that are beyond our control, that we're so aware of today: being laid off, having a serious illness. How very easy it is to become cynical. Other people may say, I don't know why you bother. Nothing makes much difference anyway. These are all variations or versions of what Paul is speaking about. The way in which evil seems stronger than good, and our small efforts don't seem to make much headway, whether due to our own weakness of will or to wider influences. It can all seem hopeless, as if we can't win whatever we do. Good intentions being inspired, nothing is sufficient, we may think. Like Paul, we may inside want what is good, but in practice, we let ourselves down, or life lets us down. Our gospel reading starts with words from Jesus in a similar vein. This passage follows one where he praises the work of John the Baptist, who was so popular, but now has been arrested. People don't really seem interested. John is yesterday's news. Their mood is fickle. He compares them to children, only interested in getting their own way. It seems that what they want is things on their own terms. Someone who'll give them what they want when they want it. We played the flute for you. You didn't dance. We wailed. You didn't mourn. What they are not prepared to do is to receive what is given to them, even when it surprises or challenges them. And then Jesus uses the image of childhood again, but in a different way. In contrast to fickle children who just want things their way, he speaks of those who are infants, able to receive wisdom in a spirit of innocence. In this part, Jesus uses the word Father repeatedly. To be truly wise, we need to be like those content to receive what we're given, what is revealed by God. So both these passages build to the same message. We will only find rest and comfort if we give up any idea of being in charge. By our own efforts, we can often seem to achieve little, and frustration may be our lot. It's perhaps this deep kind of weariness that Jesus refers to in those comfortable words. He tells us that if we acknowledge God's sovereignty and his gentle fatherhood and guidance, we will have security and rest. At first, this may seem like a burden in itself. Jesus speaks of my yoke, my burden, but it's a light one. If we're receptive and willing to learn to follow God's ways, we'll be freed from the endless questioning and dissatisfaction that results from following our own way. Countless people down the ages have found this to be true. I don't think it means rigidly following a slavish creed or giving up our critical faculties. It doesn't mean swallowing whole things that don't make sense, but it does mean having an attitude of acceptance and receptivity, being prepared to obey. Paul ends by asking, "Who will rescue me?" And he finds the answer in God through Jesus. This isn't just a message of comfort, but of hope. For though we are not in charge ourselves, God is. As our first hymn says, it's he who guides and inspires. We do have a part to play, and though some efforts may seem to us to be worthless, they are not worthless in his eyes. If it's following his lead, our striving for justice is vital, even though sometimes we become discouraged. Jesus invites us to lean on him, to learn from him, to find true rest. Not just rest in the ordinary sense when we're tired and worn out by life's demands, but also a deeper spiritual rest from questions about the meaning of life that beset us all and from our own frustration with ourselves. Our final hymn today speaks of this invitation to come to God, to find our peace, our rest in him, in his teachings, and in his presence alongside us. In the old service of Holy Communion, many of you will remember that those comfortable words follow a general confession, absolution, and turning back to God. "Come unto me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens," says Jesus, "and I will give you rest." May each one of us find for ourselves this rest that he promises in the coming week and indeed throughout our lives. Amen.